One of the internal struggles that our generation is facing is that of materialism. We're blessed with many things, more than can ever have been imagined in previous generations, and even the poorest people have more than the richest people had generations ago. I say that it's an internal struggle, as it's a problem that lives in each of us. No outside enemy is forcing us to be obsessed with clothes or friends or peer pressure. It's a pressure and a desire that starts from our outlook in life and can color everything that we do and how we feel. In Parshas Pekudei, as the Tzen Arena does, the Tzen Arena addresses the root of this issue in quite a modern way and addresses where does corruption come from and how can we change ourselves that we don't even come to becoming corrupt or immoral in any way, and that we should have a proper attitude to how we relate to money and things, not becoming too stingy, but also not becoming enmeshed and interested in materialism. This week's parsha begins with a quote from Rabbeinu Bachai, who is quoting Mishlei. Tov ma'at b'yiras Hashem me'utzer rav umuhum abo. It's good to have a little with the fear of Hashem, rather than having a great treasure and there's turmoil with it. Everything in life is a choice. I always need to choose between two options, and I can't have everything. The Pasuk in Mishlei says that if a person has a choice, they should choose to have less money and be more God-fearing and do things in a kosher way than to live with lots of wealth and treasure that comes from being corrupt, stealing, taking interest that isn't allowed, and things like that. The Tzen Arena brings another Pasuk from Mishlei to further explain this idea. Tov aruchas yerek v'ahava sham meshur avos v'sinabo. It is better to eat a vegetarian meal, meaning a more simple meal, and there should be love there, than to eat a gourmet meal of ox and have hatred with it. We all have a choice. If I choose to stick to a strict budget where I have meatless Mondays and I know I can pay for it, people will love me because they know I've never borrowed from them, cheated from them, or I've never cheated anyone else, and I wasn't involved in anything corrupt. Rather than figuring out ways to pay for my charcuterie board habit, which I can only pay by cheating others, which makes people hate me, Chas v'shalom. The worst averus, says the Tzen Arena, is stealing from someone. Chazal say that the most worst and evil averus aren't that serious if they don't have corruption and thievery mixed in. We see this from the generation of the flood. Chazal say, lo nechtam gzar dinam el al hagezel. The fate of the generation of the flood wasn't sealed except because they stole. This generation of the flood was committing some serious averus of immorality. They also served avodah zara, but the nail in the coffin that finally brought Hashem to punish them was that they stole from each other and only minor amounts. The pasuk from Mishlei says, as we said before, Tov ma'at b'yiras Hashem. A little bit is good when it's accompanied with yiras Hashem. This means that a person should take an example from the pasuk which talked about eating vegetables, meaning that it's better to eat cabbage and vegetables without meat with a good friend or with a good wife who love each other and not to eat fatty meat, and take this and apply this idea to the rest of their lives. It's better to be out of style but to have loving and trusting relationships than to be a fashionista and live in a world of resentment. Staycations are good with friends and family rather than jet-setting around the world, which we can't afford but we'll need to pay for somehow, and might come to tricking those who are closest to us to fit the bill. The issue is not the luxuries, but it's spending more money than we have on things we want, because that will lead to mixing money that is kosher with mixing money that comes from theft, jealousy, and hatred. It's better to be stingy with money we know is 100% kosher than to be flexible with money and end up being tempted to steal from others. This is not free reign to just be stingy and rely on our own devices that we need to earn every penny. A person needs to trust in Hashem and not in the holy dollar. We need to believe that Hashem will give us all the money that we need. Chazal say, Mi nikra osher, hasameach b'chalko. Who is called wealthy? The one who is happy with what he has. The Tzen Arena defines being happy with what you have as meaning having confidence that Hashem will continue to give us what we need in the future. This is proven by the Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Kol yumei ani ra'im. All the days of the poor are bad. That's not fair. How come the days of the poor are not great? Why should the days of the rich who are being corrupted not be great? A person who views himself as poor and needy will believe that he will never have enough. So that's why the days of a person who considers himself poor are bad. This attitude will make him not spend the money he has on the needs he has today because he's concerned about tomorrow. So, for example, he'll go hungry today to save his money for tomorrow, fearing he won't have enough money. This is the definition of a poor person. A person who doesn't eat and is hungry out of fear that they won't have money tomorrow is always poor and will always be miserable. In contrast, Pasuk says, Tov lev mishta tamid. It is good for the heart who has a constant feast. This seems to contradict what we said before. Before we said that a person shouldn't spend money on luxuries and on eating delicacies, and this Pasuk says that a good heart has a constant feast. What's the difference? The difference is their mindset. A person can feel like they always have a feast going on. Everything's great. It's always a party. Life is good. But they have bitachon Hashem. They will eat what they have today in their pantry. They will do what they need today. And they'll trust that Hashem will provide for them tomorrow, even if they don't know how that will happen. They know if they're eating simply and Hashem is taking care of them today, they don't need to worry about tomorrow. So they're always in a good mood. They don't lack food. And nor are they going to come to steal because they know that Hashem will provide. So they're always in a good mood. They're having a perpetual feast. Life is always a great time because Hashem is taking care of them every single day. This person who has bitachon would never steal anything from anyone. And they know that it's a very serious and great avera, and they take that very seriously. The Gemara says in Maseches Bava Kamma, whoever steals from his friends, even a penny, it's as if he stole from his soul. And even if he just owes him wages and delays and doesn't pay him, it's as if he steals his soul. The Gemara says similarly in Maseches Bava Metziah, someone who owes his friend wages and tells him again and again, come back tomorrow, oh, I don't have what you, I owe you, come back tomorrow. It's also as if he robbed his soul. The Mefarshim on the Gemara explain this passage in the Tzenarana. When a person is poor and we steal from them, we can be taking their last piece of bread out of their mouth. When we steal from them, there are real life implications. Things are tight, so they may not be able to afford the medicine they need or the clothing they need, or they might not even have food for their next meal. Similarly, if someone is working for us, often they are doing dangerous and menial work. Why are they putting themselves on a roof 30 feet off the ground? Why are they the roofers? Why are they driving a cab in the middle of the night for Uber? The reason is that they really need money. So they're willing to do a lot to survive. When we don't pay them, we are taking away the money they have and are willing to risk their lives for because they need it to survive. So when we don't pay them, we're taking away money that they really needed. Not everyone realizes the implications of stealing. There are people who give a ton of tzedakah and they do lots of mitzvahs and they also steal. How can they be hypocritical? Their names are on shuls and schools and they're busy ripping off the poorest in society. They think when they give tzedakah, they're getting a mitzvah that offsets their averos. But the Gemara says in Maseches Sota, Hashem hates someone who steals and brings a carbon with that money. And it is even forbidden to make a bracha on something that was bought with stolen money. So if someone cheats or steals at all, they can forget about buying that beautiful lulav and esrog because their brachos would be bracha levatala, would be a bracha made in vain, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. They say whoever steals a measure of wheat and makes dough out of it and takes from it challah and then makes a bracha on that challah that they've taken, this is a mockery and an insult to Hashem. Whoever steals and makes a bracha on that which he steals defiles Hashem with this. And if he steals from a non-Jew, the avera is even greater. As a proof, the Tzenarana quotes from the Gemara Bava Kamma that it is a greater avera to steal from a non-Jew than to steal from a Jew. Because with stealing from a non-Jew, there is also the additional avera of chilul Hashem for which there is no kapara, no atonement. It is for this reason, tying back this topic to this week's parsha, that Moshe insisted on making a full accounting of everything that was used in the construction of the Mishkan. Moshe did not want the Jewish people to suspect him of stealing silver or gold from the Mishkan. He was demonstrating to the people the importance of honesty and integrity. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who everyone knew spoke to Hashem face to face, insisted on being transparent for the nation when money was concerned, to teach a lesson about the importance of making sure no stolen goods enter our areas of Kedusha. The Tzenarana moves on to another explanation of this first pasuk, Ela Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the commandments of the Mishkan. It says the word Mishkan twice to teach us that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed twice by the nations of the world. The Mishkan is called Mishkan Ha'edus, the Tabernacle of Testimony. The Mishkan was the testimony that Hashem forgave the Jewish people for the sin of the Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, because he wanted to spread his Shekhinah in the Mishkan, which was a sign that the Jewish people were forgiven completely for this Aveira. The Psukim continue. And the 1775. Rabbeinu Bachai writes on this phrase that Moshe gave an account of the gold and the silver, and he tallied 1,775 shekels of silver. But then he forgot what he made with that silver, and a voice came out from heaven and said that he made a specific item for the Mishkan. Therefore, Bnei Yisrael should not suspect Moshe. He's a faithful Gabbai. He's done what he's supposed to with all the possessions that you gave him. What's the lesson here? Why did Moshe forget that there needed to be a voice from heaven testifying to what he had done with all that silver? This teaches us that a person has to justify himself before people, even though he knows that before Hashem he's considered correct. He can't say, you know I'm a tzaddik, just trust me. It's better for him to go and show that he's a tzaddik. And in the end, Hashem will help him to justify himself, to show that he is correct and that he is trustworthy, and that he has remained trustworthy. Next, the Parsha tells us that Moshe set up the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Medrash writes that Moshe set up the Mishkan three times on the first day. The first time, he wanted to bring the Karban Tamid, the daily sacrifice, in the morning. So he set up the Mishkan and then dismantled it. The second time, the Nisim had to bring their Karbanos. The princes of each tribe had to bring their own Karbanos that they were bringing to inaugurate the Mishkan. Moshe set up the Mishkan, and after he brought the Karbanos to the Nisim, he once again dismantled it. The third time Moshe set up the tabernacle was in the evening, when they wanted to bring the Karban HaTamid of the evening. So Moshe built the Mishkan and then took it down again. So why was Moshe the only one to set up the Mishkan three times that day? The Medrash Tanhuma says that all the Chacham and the sages who were busy and working the Mishkan could not set up the Mishkan. So they brought everything to Moshe and they said, here, let's see if you could put it up. At this time, when everybody was building the Mishkan and bringing all the supplies and getting everything ready, Moshe was upset, because he didn't get a chance to donate anything. He was so busy helping take the donations, he didn't get to donate. And he didn't get to even build the Mishkan or any of the Kalim, because that job was given to Bezalel. He really wanted to be involved in the mitzvah, but he didn't get a chance. Hashem said to him, I promise that you will not find anyone who knows how to build the Mishkan except you. And you, Moshe, if you only take the Mishkan and just hold it in your hand, the Mishkan will set itself up independently. So you're not going to have to bother yourself, and everyone will see and think you are building the Mishkan. And this is the blessing that I'm giving you regarding the construction, because you wanted to give. Because you wanted to give and were not able, I'm going to give you the opportunity that the whole nation should see your desire, and you're going to be the one to build it the first time. The Tzen Arena ends off the parsha by quoting the Yalkut. The Yalkut writes that there were many miracles that took place in the Mishkan as it existed beyond the normal time and space that we think of. The courtyard of the Mishkan measured 50 amos wide, and somehow, when Moshe wanted to teach Torah, 600,000 men could stand in the courtyard. And when they bowed down, there was a space between each man and his friends of 4 amos, as the halacha requires. And they also all saw that the fire came down from heaven into the Mishkan, into the chater, into the outer courtyard, and entered into the Mishkan Eidos and went to the Mizbeach, and it burnt the Karbanos and it left the fire there. Rabbeinu Bachai writes that Hashem was saying to the Jewish people, today I am placing my Shekhinah among you only on the condition that you be Kesherim and Tzadikim, that you be kosher and righteous people. But if you commit Averos, God forbid, the Shekhinah will depart from you. When Mashiach comes, then you will see Hashem's name openly. In this week's Parashah, we have finally seen the culmination of the whole Sefer of Shemos, where Hashem has taken the Jewish people out of Egypt and has now come and brought his Shekhinah amongst the Jewish people. The gift of the Shekhinah was given on a condition. The Jewish people needed to act with integrity and honesty. As we learned before, stealing is a lack of trust in Hashem. Instead, we need to live with an awareness that Hashem is always with us, not focusing on living in a world of materialism, not trying to keep up with our friends and our neighbors, and not stealing in order to give tzedakah. We will do it with this perspective, we will do what is right, and with this merit, we will merit the final Beis HaMikdash that will stand forever. Have a good Shabbos.